I know this parish understands about the cycles of Scripture, that every 3 years we rotate Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Usually the Gospel of John comes on special occasions. But the one challenge in that, as most of you probably know, is that Mark is about two-thirds as long as Luke or Matthew. Mark's 16 chapters or so, Luke, Matthew 24, 25. So we have to do something in the cycle in the year of Mark to fill in what will match the Luke and the Matthew cycles. And what is chosen for us is what is called the Bread of Life Discourse. And it comes from the Gospel of John. And starting next weekend and all the way through the weekends of August, first weekend September, we pick up on Mark again, but we'll hear the Gospel of John with what we call the Bread of Life Discourse. I am the bread of life, huh? And the very controversial, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you shall not have life eternal. It says more people left him over that than anything that he taught. But we're going to hear that over a four-week period. It's a fairly lengthy discourse. But we are brought into the Gospel of John this week. And with that spirit that the physical feeding precedes the spiritual feeding, I think we're pretty certain that this Bread of Life discourse follows the feeding of the 5,000. A remarkable miracle. Unbelievable, really. And when we look at it, at the heart of it, I think, is not only Jesus' power through the Holy Spirit from the Father, but also it appears that there was a wonderful spirit among the people in all of this. You know, when Jesus is in this particular moment, he's just coming from having sent the apostles off two by two. Remarkable, remarkable experience for them. They've been spectating all the time up till now, and now Jesus sends them out with the same power to drive out demons and cure the sick as what he had. And of course, as they come back, they're just flush with excitement and almost giddy in talking about the experience that they had. And Jesus says, come on off by yourself to a quiet place. He kind of wanted to debrief them. We know that Jesus already is anticipating life here on earth after he leaves. And so after he sends out the 12, he's going to ultimately send out the 72, two by two, trying to make sure that people are prepared to lead once he leaves. But the crowd is just so large. This is right at the peak of the Jesus Christ superstar. Before people have left him in controversy over things like the Bread of Life discourse, he is just intensely popular. And people are following every move he makes and big crowds gathering. And that's what we find here. And it's in a place a little unusual for the desert. It says that there's much grass there. That's very unusual in Israel to find grassy areas. But he has the people recline. Now, just prior to that, interesting with Philip and with Andrew. With Philip, when Jesus asks him to test him, how can we buy enough food for this group? He says 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. But Andrew, might as well make a start, eh? Well, we do have this boy here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many? So that's when Jesus says, have the people recline. Now, this is how I envision it. I don't think Jesus, laid hands on the bread and the fish and suddenly there was these tall stacks of bread and tall stacks of fish to draw from. No, I think he broke some in maybe 3 different, maybe 4 different baskets, and they set them out among the people. Now, when I mentioned that this brought out the best in the crowd, I suspect, as the baskets were being passed through, I think people were probably thinking to themselves, how is this going to feed so many of us? We brought a little bit of food already. We don't need to take any of this. Maybe we could even share some of the food that we have. And so a few people, then a few more went through, and suddenly we're back to the front again, and people are still getting food. So I think the people who started out in that generous spirit are thinking, well, we might as well chow down, huh? And so they would get a large amount of bread and fish, and they all of a sudden are feeling really comfortable. And the basket comes through a third time. Huh? Now it's time to stuff yourself. And they do that. And suddenly, after it's all done, not only is that enormous group fed completely, but they've left over scraps. And Jesus doesn't want it to go to waste, so he has 12 baskets picked up of that. But, you know, I think besides, obviously, the understanding of this being a prelude to the bread of life, and Jesus having them understand that he was their spiritual food, and that's what we're gathered here to receive Jesus as spiritual food. We also have that sense of Paul in that letter to the Ephesians, already the church emerging with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. And I think recognizing, as people at that time likely did, that the response for gratitude is generosity. When we've been blessed with so much, and certainly we as 21st century Americans are abundantly, incredibly blessed, certainly in the area of food. And for us to want to be generous and to share with others is a natural impulse for those of us who recognize we are part of one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, over all and through all and in all. And it's with that spirit of unity that we come today, that we come to celebrate the Eucharist, that we come to break bread together, we come to share from our abundance in a generous way, and we certainly come to recognize the importance, if we're going to reach out to spiritually feed people, first we have to address their physical hungers. And that's why any charitable a group that is reaching out to address the problems of hunger in our world, and shame on us, hunger in this country, need to be responded to. So I just invite you to feel the oneness of these scriptures, certainly the oneness of this miracle, and to recognize, maybe particularly when we pray the Our Father, that Jesus was feeding God's children, and that we look at one another as our spiritual brothers and sisters.